do it.
What is this?
That's a little Grace Rhodes, a little Uprise.
Listen, Grace Rhodes is trying to do it.
Yeah, she be getting it. She be getting it cracking, man. I like the song, too.
I like it, too. Ooh.
Uprise.
Uprise always keeps me on my toes.
But I like this part right here. Simon, don't cut it out. We gotta hear this part right here. Should I be telling you, J-Bell? I got you.
Not in that voice. Hey, that is fresh. You know what? I follow our people on Instagram and things of that likeness. Grace Rhodes is doing it right now. She's
doing a thing, man.
Yeah, she's doing it. So I'm peeping. I saw a video being filmed the other day, some Uprise stuff. That's how I figured it out.
Coming out on March the 8th.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
I saw it.
It's gonna be crazy.
Because somebody in here doesn't have Instagram, so I have to follow other people to find out what's happening in the world of the Uprise. But I understand why you don't. So it's all good. What's up, my brother?
Man, I am chilling, man. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. Homeboy's not feeling so good.
I'm not feeling
though,
great.
But it's okay.
This is not the time to have a cold.
Nah, not at all. Not at all.
My daughter gave me a cold.
Yeah.
And I've never felt so guilty in my life.
Yeah.
It's like I'm on the tube. I'm on, and I feel like not one sniffle, mm-hmm. not one cough, mm-hmm. not one sneeze, OC.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody knows I got a cold. I feel like one guy was looking at me, right?
Yeah.
From far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, God, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows I got a cold.
He knows.
He knows I got a cold. And then as we get off, he goes, love the show, J-Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the man was going to call the authorities.
Yeah. You know what, though? You know what? Now that you say something about that, there's something I need to bring up that I saw yesterday
that
made me very, very angry.
Well, you are a man who keeps his emotions in check, so I'm very interested to hear this.
Very, very. Oh, this is going to be an incredible
podcast. Is this the day?
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
I'm weak, too, from my cold.
Yeah, but we'll get to all that later. But what I saw, there was a black guy on a train.
Okay.
Black man on a train. And there was an Asian guy. I don't know if this was in London or I don't know if it was in New York. I think it might have been in New York, right? And there was an Asian man on the train. And the black guy was like, you don't sit down next to me. You don't sit next to me. Well, he was just ranting and screaming at this Asian man, right? And I was looking at it, and it just the stupidity, the ignorance, the forgetfulness of this man to be looking at an Asian man telling him, he can't sit down next to him. Like how, when you've experienced, prejudice and, ignorance directed towards you, why would you now do that to somebody else over something so stupid? Like, that made me so mad.
You bring up an interesting thing that people forget.
Yeah.
And it's easy when you are, I don't want to say this easy. It's not easy. But when you are being oppressed and you're pointing to the oppressor, sometimes it's easy to forget mob mentality and the research done on mob mentality. One of the famous, I think, research projects that was done was the, I forget what university it was, but the shocking one where they were asking in person questions and the professor would tell the other person to shock the person when they got it wrong, right?
Yeah.
And this is a big one. It's debatable on its findings. But the mob mentality of this thing's out here,
and these people are this demographic. This is the cause. This is the issue. And how easily people switch into that mentality without even being aware of it, especially what, to your point of, you should know better.
Yeah.
You should know better. But yeah, my mentality reigns supreme at times. There's a serious dynamic to that because there's a sense of survival.
Yeah.
People are running. You hear a loud noise. You don't run to the loud noise. You run away, yeah, right? That's yeah. how you survive.
Yeah.
So, but I think just like we're having this conversation now, the way the human mind thinks is a survival mechanism, but we're not running away from lions and tigers. So let's think this through and let's have a little bit more deep thought when it comes to things like this. So I feel the same way you do.
Yeah.
I do.
Speaking of deep thought, and here's where we're 100%. If we're going to get kicked off, it's going to be right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was nervous about this, and I've got a little confident that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So check this out.
Man.
So, you know, with this whole royal family, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the whole situation about them leaving and...
Yes.
And to be honest with you, they have been treated quite unfairly.
Okay.
They have. I feel like they've been treated unfairly. There's been a lot of scrutiny, a lot of nonsense came this lady's way because obviously she's part, you know, African American. She's part black.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's because she's American?
I think it's a combination of a bunch of things, right? I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. I don't know what the real reason is. I can't point my finger at it, but I just know that it's happened. And then I saw a while ago, I was reading something, and I forget what journalist it was that said that she looked like a chimpanzee. Like she looked a little bit like, she looked like a monkey.
Somebody said that, really?
She looked like a chimpanzee.
Somebody actually said that.
Said it. And so
they got away with that?
No. They didn't get away with it. They did not get away with it.
Okay. Okay.
And when I saw it, I was like, man, the stupidity. My first reaction was like, you know, I was outraged by this. I was like, man, why are they doing this woman like that? You understand? And, you know, my wife was saying the same thing. And then I saw a picture of the lady, beautiful woman. And I saw a picture and I looked at the picture. And after about 5 seconds, I was like,
What are you talking about? I mean, if you're talking like that, we all came from... What are you talking about? I'm lost. I'm so lost right now.
I looked at the picture.
I'm so lost.
I was looking at the picture. I was like, when I took off my outrage glasses, when I took off my anger glasses, I looked. I was like, maybe that's, I don't know.
Do you think, because you are always trying to understand people's point of view, that you try to look at it like that?
No. All I did was I just sat down and I looked at the picture and I was like, okay, if I'm not looking at this from a, they're calling her, you know how they used to call black people monkeys and all that. When I took off those glasses and I was like, I'm looking at it just from a straight up, just a straight standpoint. I was like, okay, everything isn't racist. Like, everything isn't racist. There's a possibility that this person who said that was not trying to be racist. There's a possibility that maybe, okay, here's another thing.
Okay, common sense would have told this person, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
So that is where I cannot respect anyone with that lack of common sense. You can't roll down that.
Good.
Sorry. Drop
now,
stuff.
Now.
Fumbling over here.
Now, let's really get into it then, J-Bell.
Okay.
Yeah? Because here's one thing I've wanted to ask you, and I want to ask Simon the same thing.
Simon doesn't want any parts of this.
Oh, Simon has to get involved.
Okay. He just ate a mini egg. And we're not even getting paid.
He's trying to be quiet. He's trying to be quiet. He's like, I'm just going to eat this mini egg. I don't want nothing to say with it.
Might be a lot of sipping today.
How do you define racism? What is your definition of racism? Actual racism. Not prejudice. Not anything else. How do you define racism? Like, I heard somewhere that black people can't be racist.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Why don't you believe that?
We've did this before on the podcast.
Okay, good. But explain it to me again. Why can't black people be racist?
Because I'd be racist by saying black people can't be racist.
That's racism? In your
opinion? My opinion is this. We all have things that we fear.
Prejudices.
Prejudice, yes. That we don't understand. Mm-hmm. And prejudice is a byproduct or precursor to racism.
Okay. So black people can be racist?
I think all people can.
Okay, good. Now.
I think the lack of awareness that we are our prejudice and... See, the thing is, I think people should... I like that people are different. I like that we see the world differently. I like that things scare us, that things make us nervous. You know, all that is cool with me. It's just identifying where that hurdle becomes a thing to where you now hate or fear because mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. That lack of awareness is something that I think people like us are constantly trying to challenge because that's where all this stuff comes from.
Mm. You just painted yourself into a corner now. I can't wait to see how you're going to get out of this corner.
Why is it a corner? You asked me a question.
Yes.
Is this a safe zone or is this not?
This is pure safe.
Okay, well, why am I in a corner?
Because.
You just asked me a question.
No, because once you see where I'm going, then I want to see how you get out of it.
Well,
It's nothing bad about it at all.
And the one thing about my opinion is this, OC.
Yes.
It's just an opinion.
Good.
It can be changed.
Listen, just hear me out. Now,
I'm quite often wrong.
No. You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. You're 100% right in this particular situation.
Okay.
Now, so there's this whole female empowerment movement, right? Right about, you know, all women saying that they're strong, they're...
This movement has been going on for a long time.
Yes. Female empowerment. And the reason why, right, is because for so long, women have been subjugated, they've been demeaned, they've been, you know, painted into a bad place, and now they're coming out and they say, we're strong, we are powerful, we actually run the world, and they are correct in saying this, right?
Yeah, they always have been saying that.
Good.
More people are listening. Maybe.
Good. Now, black people come out now, we're black and we're proud, we're strong, black unity, black this, black that. And they can say that because, hell, they've been subjugated. They've been put down. They've been, all these things have happened for so long, right? What if Simon comes out now?
Right.
And starts saying, white men rule the world.
Right.
White men are strong.
Right.
White men are powerful.
Yeah.
White men are this. White men are that.
Yeah.
Simon's a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
if he says that, if he comes out and says
Simon
that.
Simon is not, but
he's not.
If he says
if
that.
If he comes out and says
it's
that.
It's not going to be good for Simon.
It's not going to be good for Simon.
No, it's not.
He becomes a white supremacist. Now, black people can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Women can say that.
Yes.
Simon cannot say that.
Yes.
Because if he does, he's a white supremacist.
Yes.
Now, let's go back.
Okay.
Can black people be racist?
Yes.
How?
I mean, black people in Africa are racist against other black people, right?
Not racist.
Well, what are they?
Tribalist.
Because
it's different tribes.
Right. So if they are tribalist, explain that to me.
Not a feeling of superiority. It's not, the Igbos don't feel they're superior to the Yorubas. The Yorubas don't feel like they're superior to the Hausas.
Okay.
It's none of that. It's not superior.
Okay.
We just
it's
have
just tribes.
Literal tribes.
Okay.
So it's not
that
racism.
Makes sense. What about from a... monetary point of view, there's extreme wealth in Africa.
Yes.
Just like other
places. Extreme wealth. Yes.
Extreme wealth. How does extreme wealth look at impoverished people?
The same way they look at it everywhere. Hmm. There's no difference between the way a rich person looks at a poor person in America and the way a rich person looks at a poor person in Nigeria. It's the exact same thing.
So if you're a rich family,
mm-hmm.
This is interesting to me. You give me a lot of information on this, and it kind of gets my global perspective better. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate it. So what if you're a really rich, well-off family, and you want to marry or marry somebody from a lower class?
Doesn't matter.
What happens in that scenario?
Nothing.
Does it happen a lot?
What happens is that where there usually are issues, a safe instance, an Igbo person wants to marry an Hausa person, then there's a little...
Ooh, there's a
problem. Yeah, but it's not happening. It has nothing to do with rich, poor, none of that. Right. None of that means anything.
Right.
Yeah. So that being said, cool. If women can say this, black people can say this, but a white man can't, it's because the power dynamic has always been in the white man's hand. So therefore, he can't now come out and say all these things. And so when I forget the intellectual, I think it might have been Michael Eric Dyson, was like, black people can't be racist because they have never been in a position where they have the power to actually determine, you know, what happens to certain countries. Yeah. So if that's the case, that means black person can't be racist. And then when he said that, I was like, yeah, you know what? If Simon can't extol the virtues of being a white man, but black people can, and white women are allowed to, women in general are allowed to, it's because of that power dynamic.
Right.
So therefore, I mean, if you're looking at it from that logical standpoint, it's...
So you say something interesting, and I think,
you know,
and I think I agree with this.
How do you feel about that, Simon?
You can be racist if you're black, yes.
Mm.
Because... racism is discrimination,
mm-hmm.
whether it's mild discrimination, as in discomfort,
yes,
or ultra hatred against somebody who's different from you.
That's racism.
Yeah.
Regardless of color.
Yeah. That's your definition of racism.
I think everybody can
be racist, basically.
Yeah, I think so. I have something to say, though, mm-hmm. that you said that I agree with, and I think it's a focal point, and you make a lot of sense. And it's the position of power, OC. And I think that in any – okay, I'm just going to bring it back why I think – I'm going to bring it back in just football because I know football.
Yes.
And I like it. Let's look at the dynamics of a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I know were the true leaders. Mm-hmm. Forget who coaches pick. Forget this, all this. Okay? It's people like you, Stray, AP at a time. There's others, but I'm just saying that because those people will allow me to use their name. Mm. That had power. But you used your power in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And you understood there were restrictions with your power. You mentioned something a while ago that I'm not even going to talk about because I don't know if we talked about it in public or not, but you were like, yeah, they know I would have said certain things and that wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
But you understood that. You understood why you couldn't be doing or saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the power.
Yes.
So, to your point, when you are in a power position, usually you know that. And you have people that take advantage of that. You have people that don't take advantage of that. You got people in the middle that don't even understand if they are or they aren't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you're in a power position and you do have the juice, there's certain things you cannot say, and you do not have the platform to express yourself.
Yep.
That could be frustrating. Imagine you're in a power position your whole life, and now you got the heat on you.
Yes.
For lack of, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
You got the heat on you. There's frustration. You want to vocalize whatever you want to vocalize. I don't even know what it is, but you want to do it. And you really can't, or you have to be very careful. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cry for you,
yeah.
but I understand it. This is why we have nationalistic movements happening. I mean, I talk about the U.S. because that's the politics I follow. And you look at the rise in U.S. nationalism, especially in certain parts of the country, it's because people feel like they're not being heard or their sense of community has been demolished or not addressed,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And now that's happening, and then they feel like they can't talk because they are supposedly on top, But economically, they're really not on top.
They're not.
But when you look at them, they're supposedly on top.
Yeah.
And they are so frustrated.
Yep.
And that is a serious, serious issue. And it needs to be addressed. Yep. And people need to understand that in some parts of the world, it's all about the green. It's all about the money. There is no color. The color is economic resources.
Yep.
And if you have them, you can come play. Your whatever you are doesn't even matter anymore.
Yes.
Can you come and participate in this economic avalanche?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
let's put it all at the top, roll down, and take everything out on the way
yep.
and control everything. What if you look like you have all these things because, you know, you are of a certain color, of a certain gender, but you don't? How frustrated would you be? How sick would you be?
Jay Bell, you see, this is why I love having conversations with you. You see, the thing is, you hit on a very, very important point here. Now, you know that I've been on a journey for these past couple of months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. Yes. Interesting.
So the conversations I've been having, right, and the people I've interviewed and, you know, the people I've went to see, Jason, they've opened my eyes in a way that have never been opened before. I'm starting to see things completely differently than
fresh.
I used to before. You understand what I mean? It's been so fascinating. So now, okay, you hear about these racist incidents at, you know, soccer games out here in the UK, right?
Yes.
They call them racism, right? And okay, there's a guy in the stands, he's yelling at Raheem Sterling or he's yelling at one of these soccer players. He's calling them a monkey, you know, throwing bananas and all that stuff. But now I want you to really, really take a second to really, really think about that. Is that racism? Should we define that as racism? And here's why I say that. If I'm on the football field, right? Me. You, Jason, you're on the football field. I look at you, a good-looking guy. You're very, very intelligent, right? You're well off. You're athletic. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want to, right? Mm-hmm. There's a guy in the stands. Yeah? He's in the stands, Jay Bell. You know what I mean?
I know where you're going.
Probably a little,
you know,
and he's like, oh, you're a monkey. You're this, and he's thrown.
Yeah.
Jason, who's the monkey? You or him?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Realistically,
exactly.
Who is
the
monkey?
We played some places where people are talking reckless.
Reckless.
Yes.
Who's the monkey? Is it you, the good-looking guy,
like,
athletic, who's got all this bread, who's, you know, with whatever,
super,
or that guy? He's the monkey. So now we as people, we as athletes, have given this idiot the power to be racist. You're going to call him a racist?
Yeah.
You're going to give him that authority?
Right.
Forget him.
Yeah.
He's nobody.
Yes.
You know who's racist? Or who I'm worried about or who I should be worried about? The guy who owns the team. The guy who has the ability to not sign my check.
Yeah.
The guy who has the ability to paint me in a picture.
Yes.
The media who's controlled by nothing but white people who are like, oh, listen, we're going to blackball this guy. We're going to do this. These are the people who actually are who we should consider as racist, not the guy in the stands. What is that? That's nothing. We cannot continue to just blanket call everybody who has no power, no authority, no ability to do anything to us. Back in the day, Jay Bell, a guy can be like, hey, you're a monkey. And guess what? Him and his boys would go string me up. They line me up. Yeah. They put me on the rope and I'm done.
That power doesn't exist
anymore. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's over for them.
Yeah.
A guy calls me a monkey in the street, I'm going to punch him right in his nose.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
So
we cannot continue to label everybody who are just being stupid or ignorant. We cannot continue to give them that power and say that's racism. No, that should be exclusive to people who can actually do something. That's my opinion, and I rest my case.
You said something a very high level, and it's all about, if you think of a lot of things, you got to think in medical terms, right? Because that's when, like, oh my God, stuff's on the line.
Yes.
Okay. And you said two things. One, when you talked about a symptom, and the other, you talk about the way to start to get a cure.
Yeah.
The symptom is, like you said, you know, people in the stands, people people vetting, right? Mm-hmm. Especially people that feel like they don't have any power, so this is their power.
Right.
And then you talked about people in positions of power that can actually give out a cure.
Yes.
And it goes back to your other point about racism in general and power and all that. Look, the people at the top of the mountain, mm-hmm. the people with real power, what do they want? Status quo.
Yep.
Why would you change anything? It's working. This is why they spend so much time, money, resources on political influence to continue that narrative. Genius. This is what they do. This is what I would do.
Yep, yep.
And don't fool yourself. If you were in a position where you had, you know, hundreds of years in the same situation, you are trying to protect that for the next 100 years worth of your family. It's what we do as people. Now, as we get smarter and understanding, we start to change things. We think of things differently. Boom, 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 a whole different. But I get that. And the only reason you get people at the top to change is purely numbers. And I'm not talking about money. Mm. I'm talking about people, the masses, the uprise, the revolutions. Mm-hmm. And it's different now, right? We're in a different space. But you can have an uprise, a revolution on social media. Mm. You can put pressure on these people in power because what is their objective? Status quo, bottom line. There's always a company tied to that. Mm-hmm. And they're selling products or things or whatever it is, right? Their mm-hmm. money, the economy has to keep rolling and generating whatever resources to fund whatever they do. Mm-hmm. You don't want that kind of heat. So let's keep the heat on the little people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Keep it there.
So if we really want change, we have to identify the people that have the power to make the change and confront them and say, we are no longer going to allow you to have this middle road, blame it on the middle road, yeah. try to defend and fight the middle road. And when we know it's on High Street.
Yep.
The problem with that is conversations like we're having mm-hmm. and really understanding, mm-hmm. not these quick social media hits, that. No. Dig into the facts and discuss them, because just because I know something doesn't mean I understand it. Let's have a platform where we can talk about these things and then change happens, because the change makers will do it because it impacts their bottom line. And they want to still be in power with the status quo. And that is, you cannot shake the tree too much. Yep. You cannot. Man, you think of most corrupt countries in the world. What is their big fear? Corrupt. Mm-hmm. Man, you don't want the masses turning and storming the palace. Yep. Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Mm. What a interesting. See, now if we don't get kicked off after this conversation, it's never going to happen.
Well, I don't think the way we look at things is differently.
It's like, completely different.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, first of all, we're honest with ourselves. We're not pointing the finger at anybody. We're having a discussion. And until people feel free to and feel safe to have these discussions, what change happens? No. I mean, you ask Simon a really tough question. But guess what? Simon's comfortable enough because of conversations we've had mm-hmm. with no mics on, no nothing. He's like, those are my guys. We have these conversations. We listen to each other and we come out better.
Yes.
We're from all different walks of life. But my goodness, we can come together and hear each other out. And listen, we don't walk out of here with a solution, mm-hmm. but we walk out of here with more tools.
Good. Jason, the only thing that I ever want people to do, ever, is just think, just a little bit. We all have our opinions. We all have our thoughts. We all have our prejudices. But if at some point during this podcast, you're like, let me look at things from that perspective.
That's it. Go to the other side.
That's it.
We've been in situations where you're like, and I'm going off the rails, mm-hmm. and you're like, you're listening, and you go, J-Bill, what about them?
Oh.
And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, okay, hold on. It's like in 3 minutes, I could have been on a 20-minute rant on something, but in 3 minutes, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I haven't stepped one foot in the other side. I haven't had the decency to try to understand their position. Yeah. How in the hell can I have an opinion that's valid?
Yeah.
Now, I can have an opinion, and it's mine.
Yeah.
But I haven't challenged it?
Yeah. Got to be challenged.
And this is, maybe it's because of we love sports. We love all sports. Mm-hmm. We love competition. We love getting better. And I just think that when you go in and you have any success, it comes from challenging yourself, challenging what you did, never being satisfied, researching, taking things from other people,
mm-hmm.
making them your own. Not changing the essence of who you are, but you can learn things from people.
Mm-hmm.
The best athletes I've ever been around are the most open people to something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, to a skill, like maybe their game or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, when I went to Dallas, Darren Woodson, Hall of Fame, Dallas Cowboy, mm-hmm. for in their Hall of Fame, sees my footwork, rookie, free agent, and goes, man, you got some good feet. Let's do some drills.
Yeah.
Darren Woodson.
That's crazy.
One of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
Looks at me, nobody, and says, man, there's something I can learn from this kid with these braids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, them braids were fresh,
they were
too.
Fresh.
Yeah, they were fresh. I had an afro out. I was militant for all of 2 weeks.
All right. Well, I think now we should talk about some football.
No, but
it's
you know,
NFL podcast.
But I do love that. I do love that conversation. And you know what? This kind of tags into something that I want to talk about is a couple things. Safety. You'll know him,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to ring a super bell,
yeah.
but it's going to ring a bell.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Okay.
Mike Adams.
Yeah. You know.
16 years.
It's a long time.
Just retired.
Yeah.
I remember him playing. I was playing. He That's came crazy. In the game in San Francisco because my buddy was hurt. I was like, who's this guy going from safety to corner, whatever? Undrafted.
Wow.
Undrafted. 16 years. Ridiculous.
That's big time.
And I kind of want to think about this. Now, first of all, we know how hard it is mm-hmm. to play, especially a DB at that position. So you have to be not only athletic, but you got to know the game
mm-hmm.
inside and out. Simon brought up something that I have forgotten.
Okay.
You were not invited to the combine.
I was not.
Second round pick.
Yeah.
Baller.
Yeah.
How do they not invite you to the combine?
Yeah. Laziness.
Boom. So we're going. Now we're headed where I want to go.
Yeah. Laziness.
Thank you for leading me this. Laziness. So, and I hate to steal your topics, but I'm stealing it because I'm looking at everything like this. I'm watching everything with the combine. I'm locking in, right? I'm all into it. And it's not because I want to commentate, oh, this guy ran this and this guy ran that. I don't want to come on the podcast and say that. I'm looking at it so when the season starts, when the real smoke is happening, and we're looking at the players, and they're having success, and they've been drafted by a team, and they're being used the correct way, we can see who's not being lazy.
Yeah.
Because, to your credit, we look at a guy. I'm looking at coaching staffs. I'm looking at the people that are in power mm-hmm. to supposedly make these players better, right? Because they don't blame themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the player's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Till he goes somewhere else and has success. Okay, cool. You look at DK Metcalf. Had a great year, right?
Yeah.
Now, he goes in the combine. He's a receiver from the Seattle Seahawks. He gets drafted by them, first round, mm-hmm. right? And he runs fast, he's big, and he can jump. Guess what Seattle uses him for?
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson throws deep passes to him, second reaction plays. He goes up, and he makes huge chunk plays. They're not asking this guy to do anything he's not great at. That is not laziness.
Right. Right.
That is, hey, this kid does this. We're going to put him in position to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I see this happen to quarterbacks a lot. And that's why it's such a hard position. You get these guys. They do certain things in college so well. They're great at it. Then they get in the system. Oh, they can't learn this. They can't do this. That's not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't. So, my senior year in college, obviously, I went to Troy, which is a small school, put up 16 sacks, second in the nation.
You guys were the best defense, right?
We were number three.
Yeah, but you guys were killing people off the edge.
Ridiculous. So I got 16 sacks. Terrell Suggs was number one. He went to Arizona State.
Yeah, I remember.
20.
Yeah, he was killing too.
He was number one. I was number two.
Not two bad guys, okay, by the way.
Terrell Suggs still playing
ball.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about two bad players.
Now, the thing is, people, I think scouts looked at that. They were like, oh, he went to Troy. He went to a small school, so he put up those numbers. And, maybe it was a small school.
Won't happen in the league.
Yeah. Now, why I said laziness? Why I said laziness is, if they would have done their research, especially that year, they would have looked at our schedule, and they would have seen Nebraska, Miami,
big schools,
Mississippi State, Iowa State. They would have seen big schools, and if they would cut that tape on, they'd be like, "This guy is dominating." Against those big schools.
Well, good offensive lines.
Good offensive lines.
Then.
But all they did was, Troy, whatever. So now what happens is they have to come to my pro day, right? Because we had a couple of other guys, Davin Williams, some guys who were supposed to be coming out. So they come to the pro day at Troy, and I'm on grass, 6'3", 280.
Ooh!
Running a 4.5. Putting up 20-something reps.
Money.
30-something vertical inch jump. And now they're like, okay.
OC.
Yeah, this guy. And then they go cut on the tape. They're like, this guy's getting after the court. And now I have to take a world tour. I have to go see like 13 different teams. Now I have to go do that. Because now they've seen the numbers, and then they go look at the tape. Mm. So, you see, pro days come after the combine.
Yes, right.
So it was only after my pro days.
Yeah.
That they now saw what I was able to do off the field, and then they looked at me on the field. This guy's a heck of a player.
Yeah. This validates the numbers.
Laziness on their scouting department, because they should have seen this a million miles away. They should have seen that. They didn't do it.
Hey, this is the theme from now on, because I'm looking at every industry like this. Mm-hmm. We're in the media space.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing we see, what do we see in the media space?
Same thing.
Laziness. And what do we always do? Luckily, we have some good producers that work with us. We got Simon here. We got a guy named Rob.
Big Rob.
Yeah. I mean, we got people that aren't lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there is a lot of laziness going around. And the thing that we've done, because we approach it like we approach ball, is we see the void. We see where people be lazy, and we just step it up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we step it up, they're so far behind. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this to toot our horn. I'm not trying to do this. But anybody listening, our people are our people. Our podcastians are our folks. Whatever you're doing, you have skills. Your advantage is seeing where people are being lazy in your skill set.
Yep.
Whatever it is, you do something well, and you see people being lazy in that. You take advantage of that. Because the one thing they can't copy, they can't copy your initiative. Because they're lazy.
They're too lazy.
They might think about it like, I'm going to try it for a day. But they can't consistently do it, correct?
Correct.
What time did you show up every day?
Yeah.
You were the second person in the lot working out. When I saw a guy from Atlanta who still plays, he comes up to you and he goes, Osi, I still show up at this time in the morning because of you.
Yeah.
Best player on the field, put in the work. Somebody wanted to be like you. Come on.
Come on, do it.
Come do it.
You know, okay, so we've been here now, 5 years in London?
Yes.
And I've made some big calls, big predictions, a lot of crazy things from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
They'd be like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
This guy's crazy. Got a lot of heat this year.
This guy's crazy. Why is he saying that? Why would he? Right? Now, here's the thing, Jason. I am in no form or fashion a genius. I'm not even, overly smart. I pretend to be, but I'm really
me
not.
Me and you both.
Yeah. I'm really not.
I hope they don't make me take them tests again in college.
Here's the thing.
Take all those degrees back.
Here's the thing, J-Bo. Now, I've been playing football for, what I played 12 years in the league, 4 years in college, you know, 2 years. So 18 years of football, 18 years of football, right? And I had, I was one of those people who had to study,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I had to actually study. Yeah. So when I'm looking at things, right, I'm looking at things in a way that, you know, sometimes I don't even know how.
Mm.
It's just the amount of information that I've processed, you know, like a computer,
yeah.
for all these years allows us to see things in a way that, you know, a lot of people can't see. Now, here's the thing, Jason. There's other people who see the exact same things that we see,
mm.
but they don't trust, right? They don't trust. And so, you know, they'll look at something, and I'll be like, oh, this can't work right here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This can't work. Now, over the course of my career, this has taught me that this particular thing cannot work. The numbers do not lie. They will never lie to
right.
you, right?
Yes.
So this particular thing has told me this right here can't work. And guess what, Jason? I'll be the one who won't be afraid to come out and say it. You understand what I'm
yes,
trying to say?
Yes, yes.
And so when the thing finally does happen, like, oh, you were right. Oh, this guy. No, I just wasn't afraid.
Yes.
I just wasn't lazy.
Yes.
Because I know this. I know it.
Yes,
I know it for
yes,
a fact.
Yeah.
Oh, Cam Newton is doing this. He's doing that. He's an MVP. I'm looking at Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. I'm like,
this ain't going to happen.
My experience tells me there's no way they can block these two people.
Yeah, yeah.
If they can't block them, they can't win the game.
No.
Guess what? Carolina can't win the game. OC, you're crazy.
Yep.
OC, you're a fool. OC, you're an idiot.
Yep.
No.
Yep. And then
I
they
just
try
know
to,
this
and then they
can't
try to,
happen.
And then they try to make it a black-white thing. You know, they try to make it like, oh, you know, and you're like, come on.
No.
But, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen a quarterback with this style win. Lamar. I've never seen it, and these are the reasons why.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it happen before.
Yeah.
Oh, you're crazy. Jason, do you think I'm the only person who saw that? I couldn't have been the only person who saw that.
Yeah.
People saw that, but they were like, you know what? Let me not. You know, let me not.
Yeah.
Because of all the
well, a lot of people that didn't say it would have been smart because to our earlier conversation, know where you are. And I will say this about that whole thing. I've been in situations where I have not wanted to do certain things, and you have opened my eyes to what was happening, and you've always said, man, you got to be yourself, and you got to trust yourself, and you got to trust this, and you got to do that.
You're going to be wrong sometimes.
Yeah, but a lot of it is, and this is why – you have to have a strong team, individuals around you. You trust their opinion because there's some times that you're going to need someone that you trust to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
tell me the truth.
To be honest.
You know?
Be honest with
and
you.
I wrote something down that's so – it's the way I look at the world, and it comes from – I look at what I can do well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this down. I'm reading this other book. I won't get into it because they haven't paid us. But
they got to pay.
And it's a pretty interesting book, business book. And they said something. And I always looked at what we do and even in our outside businesses. And I'm like, okay, what is my strength? And I always thought I covered receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I really understood body mechanics, patterns, movements from an individual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Then the broader scope was what do teams do? How does this work? You know, I just know patterns,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I could look at patterns happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they said this. And it's the same thing you said about studying. You know, when you look at business or whatever we're doing, the ability to identify missed opportunities is all about pattern recognition.
Pattern recognition.
Connect the dots and make sure all the important factors fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying before lit it up. And I was like, we all have to work on our muscle of filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be closed off. Just understand how to filter all this information in your brain, break it down, funnel it through, mm-hmm. and come out with an opinion based on that. But don't close your filters off.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand, take it in, recognize patterns, and there's truth to that. When we're listening to the news, when we're having these, if you're listening to us and you're like, oh, these dudes are crazy, go challenge it.
Yeah.
Challenge it. Go call us out on certain things where, because we're not saying, we're saying opinions based on the little bit of facts we know, mm-hmm. but we're open to the information.
100%.
And I just think that being aware of what's happening and identifying these patterns in all walks of life gives us an advantage because people don't do it.
They don't do it.
They don't do it because it's hard.
J-Bo, we just saw a guy. We just saw a guy by the name of Tony Romo get paid $17 million.
Get it.
Get it. Get season. It. Now, here's the thing. He's on there. He's electric. He's really good at what he does.
Yes.
But all he does is he's calling the game from a quarterback's perspective, right?
And he's in the meetings with the teams that tell him what they're gonna do, OC.
Right. Now, how many quarterbacks have we had as announcers or as broadcasters? So many of them.
All of them, all the big ones can get a job. All they get opportunity.
And they see him, and I've seen a lot of them on social media hating. Oh, they're like, oh, this and that. I could have done this.
I've seen NFL blah, blah, blah. Players hating.
Yeah. Now, Jason.
Man, I hate that.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? They all had the opportunity to do the exact same thing because they see the game the way he sees it. They know exactly what's going on out there on their football field because they all had the opportunity to do the same thing. They just weren't brave enough. They weren't brave enough to go out there and see this guy might run a slant here.
Yeah.
He's going to run a slant.
Yeah.
And just put it out there before it happens. Now, Tony Romo was brave enough to do that. And it paid off for him.
Yes.
It paid off big time. The exact same way what we're doing here is paying off for us big time. It's because we've taken the opportunity to be different.
Yeah. Take chances.
Period. Now, we're not getting paid $17 million.
No.
I think on our next contract.
My agent, OSI, is working on that.
Listen, J-Bell, we're looking at least $100 million for you, $100 million for me, at least.
I need it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Naira, though. Yeah. I'm talking about Nigerian currency. We're never going to see that in dollars.
Name of the podcast.
$100 million Naira.
At least.
Go do the math on that. The exchange rate is $1 to 360. So that's what we're looking at. 100 million naira a piece, J-Bell. And if they don't show up with 100 million naira for us, we're not showing up to work. Just so you know.
Oh, incredible. Man. That's it, man. We got a lot of questions over there, don't we? I have to end on that with that. That is
100 million naira.
Oh, that was OC. We just covered Russell Ellis's question, so we don't have to do that.
Okay.
You actually knew what the people wanted.
You see?
You actually
because I can
knew
predict
what
like
the
Romo
people
I can predict.
Okay, check this out. Our friend, The Light Knight. The Light Knight.
The Light Knight.
Yeah, that's kind of fresh.
Yeah, I do like that.
Ask, in your current physical condition, mm-hmm. long-term injuries, ability, how much money would it take to get each of you to play one more pro NFL game?
And
he said, oh, and stipulation, you have to play, no coasting on the bench. He knows us because we'd have been like, yeah, oh, yeah, we play. We just wouldn't go in the game.
Yeah.
A full game?
Yeah, full game. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Just one game?
Yeah.
I'd do it for free.
I would do it for a ton of money because mm-hmm. I'm going to embarrass myself so bad. OC, I cannot play.
Mm.
I can't. I can't run.
Jason, I think you could. I mean,
I would hurt myself.
Yeah, you'd
you
hurt
know
yourself.
How fast
I've seen,
they move
I've
out
seen
there?
You hurt yourself on the show.
That's true.
I've seen
That's
you
true.
Like, I've seen you I would, give it all.
I would have to
for
come
the show.
Downhill right. to tackle somebody.
Listen, I'd ask you to do one thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I ask you to do one
okay.
thing. I'd protect you in yep. coverage. I'll
yep.
protect.
Yeah.
But I know J-Bell is a head busser.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm be like, hey, yeah. Jason, this C-gap here,
yeah, yeah. You go hit
I
that.
Want you to fill
that.
That gap.
I would do that. I would do that.
Downhill
I would do
that.
I would do that.
OZ, just up the field, go yep. after the quarterback.
Yeah.
I would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I miss thumping. You want to thump?
You want to thump? Not practice, no. But no the practice. Game?
I'm done at practice. I'll die. It's over. It's over.
Absolutely.
Oh, how much money? Money. One game.
Mm-hmm. At least 10 million naira.
10 million naira it is.
At least.
That is the answer. Oh, this uprising is crucial right now. Oh, my gosh. Daniel, Simon, do you think we're getting kicked off?
You are a multi-billionaire in Nigeria. 100%. Right
now. I got to move to Nigeria.
You are a billionaire.
I'm moving to the OC compound with all of my new funds.
I'm telling you, man.
And
in Nigeria.
I'm burying it.
They'll be calling you. They'll be calling you, hey, Jason Bell, the billionaire. Jason Bell.
Count me in. I want all my money. In Naira, is it?
Naira.
I want it all. Naira. Ha 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 ha!